Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Philippine Baptist Church. If you turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Let's pray once more to honor God this morning as we come to His Word. Father, we praise You, we thank You for allowing us to be in Your house. Holy Spirit, thank You for Your presence in our lives and counseling us and comforting us and guiding us throughout this week. Thank You, Jesus, for Your faithfulness and Your goodness. God, I just pray for everyone here this morning that Your message will speak so truthful to us and so clearly to us. And God, I pray that we would be open to Your voice, to Your word. And God, again, thank You for allowing us to worship You, for the privilege and honor to know You as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's sermon is called Comfort and Suffering. Suffering is defined as the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. Comfort is defined as a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. Throughout my life, these words were never too far from each other, because when I suffered, I needed comfort. And when I was comforted, it is because I just went through suffering. So you see, they go hand in hand. Now, many of you may know of Sheryl Sandberg. She's the COO of Facebook. She became even more successful when she published a book in 2013 called Lean In, in which is about gender equality and female empowerment in the workplace. 2 years later, while on vacation, her husband suddenly died of heart failure. Sheryl eloquently describes her grief and desire to find comfort and meaning, and I quote, "I think when tragedy occurs, it presents a choice. You could give in to the void, the emptiness that fills your heart, your lungs, constricts your ability to think or even breathe, or you can try to find meaning. These past 30 days, I've spent many of my moments lost in that void, and I know that many future moments will be consumed by the vast emptiness as well. But when I can, I want to choose life and meaning." Now, I share this story because as a human being, a believer or not, we will all go through suffering. And when we do, we seek comfort and understanding, just as Sheryl Sandberg did when her husband died, and just as I did when my father passed away this year. You see, we will all have or will experience difficult times in our lives. Maybe you're currently going through trials and suffering this morning. Again, everyone handles suffering differently, but everyone is seeking comfort, understanding, and healing. Whether you're a Christian or not, we will all experience suffering. The question is, where will we look for help during this difficult time? Sheryl Sandberg sought help from friends, professional help, self-help books, which are good. And again, I quote what she said that described her grief. "This past 30 days, I've spent many of my moments lost in that void, and I know that many future moments will be consumed by the vast emptiness as well." I look at Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 for followers of Christ. And again, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 speaks about God's sovereignty, speaks about God's mercy in rescuing us and giving us hope. It says in Ephesians 2, 4, 5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Church, you see, not only did Christ die at the cross to save us from eternal condemnation, eternal separation because of our sins, but He also saved us from our trials. He saved us from our trials and suffering we face every day. You see, but God, being rich in mercy of his great love, of which he loved us, meaning no matter what we go through in this life, no matter what suffering we face, his love is with us. His mercy is with us. His grace is with us. It really means that he will never give us something in this life that we cannot handle. Again, as Christ's followers, we're able to go through suffering, through the pain and hardship, because in the end, Christ fills that emptiness. Christ fills that void. And Christ restores and heals the hurts. If you're not a believer today, I'm glad you're here. Because most likely you are suffering or will suffer at some point in life. And just like Sheryl Sandberg, you will be looking for help. And we will be looking for answers and healing and comfort. If you are a believer today, how do we then respond to the seasons of suffering that we will face or are going through this morning? As followers of Christ, how do we respond to the people around us that are suffering? My hope and prayer as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 11 is that we will look to God's word and God himself will reveal the answers and the comfort that we are looking for. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 11. Again, we've gone through a new sermon series called Light in the Darkness. We've gone through the first book of Corinthians. We're moving on to 2 Corinthians. Corinthians was written by Apostle Paul. And while he wrote 1 Corinthians, before he wrote 2 Corinthians, Paul visited the church of Corinth the second time. And when he visited the church of Corinth, it did not go well. At the time of the writing of this letter, false apostles had influenced the church to turn against Paul. And so Paul wrote this letter to refute these false apostles, to restore his relationship with the church of Corinth, to remind them and to bring repentance in the church. And the theme that we're talking about today is the theme of Christian suffering and comfort. So this morning, I believe as Christians or non-Christians, we will all go through suffering. But as believers, we can follow Christ in the midst of suffering because, point one, he is the God of mercy, comfort, and mercies. Let's read 3 and 4 of our text. It says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Paul began describing his hardship on a positive note. Again, Paul has gone through many trials and suffering, and at this moment, even the church that he planted is upset with him and have began to turn away from him, and he did not complain. He didn't show any negativity. And he begins by saying, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he begins with this praise. "Blessed be to God. Praise be to God." And he is able to do this because he knows who his God is. That his God, the Father, he is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You see, comfort is what God gives to those who suffer. These terms were appropriate because Paul was about to describe his own troubles and his own suffering for the gospel. And in verse 4, God the Father comforts us in our affliction. And I believe that is an amazing truth to understand, that God, who is the God of all comfort, comforts us when we're going through pain and trials. And the point here is that not only does God comfort us, he has a plan. And that plan is, as he comforts us, we are able, it says here, we are able to comfort those who are in any affliction. And when the word says here in my English Standard Version, the affliction, it doesn't have to be death in the family. It doesn't have to be some kind of physical sickness. It could be any affliction. It could be a relational hurt. It could be something in the past that occurred that hasn't been healed. Or it could be that's something happening emotionally with you and your husband and your wife. Or as a teenager, it could be something that you're going through with your friends. Or the pressure of living up to what your parents' expectation or what society thinks where you're supposed to be. Any affliction that you're going through. And so Paul gives the reason for praising God in verse 3, because the God he serves, the God he worships, comforts us in all our troubles. And when God comforts us, when God puts his arms around us and walks with us through the valley, through the pain, emotionally, physically, spiritually, we then are able to comfort those who are in affliction. What that really looks like is this, as you walk through this life, this journey with God, the truth is you will go through pain and suffering. Christian or not, it just comes with life. But if you are a follower of Christ, the good news is the God you worship, the God you love and praises, he is the God of comfort. He comes alongside you. He doesn't leave you and allows you to just go through your pain on your own. And when he walks beside you, he then expects you to then share that truth, share that amazing love that you experience and that comfort you experience with him. And when you see people in your family, in your circle of influence, in your at work, who are hurting, and the truth is everyone is hurting. They may not show it, but when you find out and when you hear it, our role is not to leave them alone. Our role is not to just say, I'll pray for you. That's really great, but praying for you, just saying it, is not really enough. God calls us to what? Comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that if you have experienced God's comfort in the past with your own suffering, God wants us to share that to someone who's suffering at this very moment. And for me, one of the best ways that I'm able to share the gospel with anyone is when I meet someone who is in a season in their life that they're suffering. Or a season in their life that I could pinpoint where when I was at that stage in my life where I was going through that same similar situation, whether I didn't know where I was going as a young man, whether I was struggling in my marriage with my wife, whether my dad was dying with cancer, I could really relate with them because God himself allowed me to go through that already. And I know the end. And I know the result. The result is that God is with me, that God comforts me. And with that, I use that gift, I use that blessing as a way to share the gospel with someone. And really, when I connect with people, it is because I connect with this idea of sharing what God has done in my life. When I suffered, when I needed comfort. Because in the end, I know he is faithful. He is faithful. And so this morning, as you look at Scripture this morning, as you look at your own and you reflect upon your life, whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you that you are able to follow Christ in the midst of suffering because you worship and serve a God of comfort and a God of mercy. We can follow Christ in the midst of suffering because he is the God of comfort and mercies, but also because, point two, we share in Christ's suffering and comfort. 5 and 7, it says, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. This is an important truth to understand as believers, as followers of Christ, that we share in Christ's suffering. Because this idea that, and this is a false idea, that when I give my life to Christ, not only does He save me, not only does He bless me, that my life will be all great. No. Remember when Christ called His disciples, He asked them to take the narrow way. For wide is the way that leads to destructions. And few find the narrow way. Few. In Matthew 7 talks about that. And when you take this narrow way of discipleship, it is difficult. It is hard. Following Christ is hard. Because when Christ calls us, He calls us to die. Physically die. To let go of our dreams, let go of our desires, and to put Him first. And when we do that, the truth is God allows certain things in our lives to happen. And I don't have the answer to that, to tell you the truth, because that's His plan. And when we follow Christ, suffering comes with it. But not only that, it says, as well as comfort. We share in Christ's suffering and comfort. You see, when you look at the cross, and the cross is Christ dying there, it demonstrates that reconciliation is a costly business. So you see, wherever the gospel is preached, reconciliation occurs, and there's a price to it. And it's paid in suffering. You see, you could be a non-believer, and as soon as you give your life to Christ, you then tell your family about it, who are non-believers as well. What occurs is this. It's a great shift of ideology, great shift of belief system. Because before, you believe what the world teaches. And it could be a Filipino tradition. But when you look at Scripture, it goes opposite of what God calls us to do. And what then occurs is this. You have to either stand in God's Word or stand in what you've been doing the whole time, which is what the world wants you to do. And what happens is this, there's pain that occurs because you have to let go of sin. You have to let go of what the world calls us to do, which is to be about ourselves, to be about our own glory. And when we follow Christ, when we truly understand what the cross means, it calls us to give up everything. It calls us to suffer on behalf of Christ. Because if you think about Paul, a man of God who God used amazingly, if God allows him to suffer so much, how much more for us? Again, I say this all the time. The disciples, or heroes of the faith in the past who followed Christ, missionaries like Hudson Taylor who went to China, these great men and women who followed Christ suffered. They suffered for the gospel. But you think about this, as they suffered, God was with them and comforted them. This morning, if you've gone through things in the past that were difficult, but God comforted you, and God walked beside you, and you could stand here today and say, yes, that was difficult. Yes, that was hard. Yes, I didn't know why God allowed it to happen, but in the end, God was with me the whole time. In the end, God allowed that to happen, and it made me stronger in my walk with God. It actually allowed me to get closer with Him. Raise your hand if that ever happened to you. Amen. You see, when we look back in the past, and God allowed us to suffer with Him, experience His comfort, I truly believe that is His way of shaping us. I totally believe that that is His way of molding us to be like Him. Because if Christ calls us to be like Him, but we never suffer like Christ, then we're not really like Him. If Christ calls us to take the narrow way of discipleship, but it's just easy for us following God, and all our lives is just smooth sailing, then I believe we will never have the endurance to run this race of life, because we will quit. The minute something hard happens, the minute something difficult happens, the minute something that you can't explain occurs in your life, whether that's cancer, whether that's the loss of a child, whether that's the loss of a job, whether your marriage is falling apart, you will quit. But if you go through this life, this journey with God, and you go through His sufferings, and you endure, and it creates this strong, mature believer in the Lord, I believe no matter what you face, you will never compromise His word. You will stand firm, just as we sang, Christ is solid rock, which I stand. Is He the rock that you're standing on today? Or are you standing on your own foundation, which you know as soon as a storm occurs, falls apart? We are able to follow Christ in the midst of suffering because He is the God of comfort and mercies. Because we share in His suffering and comfort. And also because, point three, suffering teaches us to rely on God. Suffering teaches us to rely on God. Verse 8 through 11, it says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." Again, here is Paul saying, we have experienced sufferings time and time again. And he says, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." I mean, if he had to share that, he suffered. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayer of many." Apostle Paul faced trials to the point of death, and that purpose was to rely on God. And that's what he discovered. That when they went through these difficult times to the point of death, he realized it was the purpose to rely on God, not on ourselves. And then he highlighted that the God they worship raises the dead. The God he worships is all powerful. And not only that, that the God they worship will deliver them in their present situation and will deliver them in their future present situation. Which means to Paul, he knows that when he followed Christ, he's going to suffer. And his suffering is teaching him to rely on his God. And he had this perspective, church, that though God delivers him in his present situation, in his trials, he was hopeful that whatever faces him in the future, which he knows it's going to be trouble, which he knows that it's going to be difficult, he says, God will deliver us again, because he wasn't alone as he suffered. God will deliver him again. And so then he calls on the church. He calls on the church to not only suffer with him, but to pray for him. He says, you must also help us by prayer. I can't stress the importance of prayer in the life of a believer, in the life of our church. Because without prayer, there's no power. Without us getting on our knees, seeking God, how can we hear his voice? How can we encourage one another? And so he calls us, the church of Corinth, to pray so that many will give thanks on our behalf of the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. How many times in our lives have we relied on our own strength, on our own wisdom, our own power, thinking that whatever we go through in this life, we can handle it? And maybe you did. And maybe in the past you've gone through it. You sought professional help. But the truth is, if you go through it on your own, just like Sheryl Sandberg, that emptiness is still there. That hurt is still there. Because you were never fully restored and healed. And you could think back and you still feel that pain. Because you relied on yourself. But you see, when we go through suffering, church, and you will, whether a young person or in your 60s, Paul is encouraging us to rely on him. That is the purpose. And and you think about it, it's unfair to think about it. Why would the God who loves me, why would the God who's all-knowing allow me to go through this? It is to point you towards him. It is to allow you to know him and get closer to him. Because when we are not suffering, when we are not struggling, the truth is we're not close to God. Because we think we're just fine. We think our lives are fine. I have a great job. My family's great. And so we rely on ourselves. We think it's because of me that my family is doing great. It's because of me that my life is great. But as soon as something tragic happens, when something, our health becomes to deteriorate, we're not able. We are not able to heal ourselves. We're not able to figure out how to get out of this sadness, this hurt. And here Paul says, the purpose is for you to rely on him. This coming Tuesday, the 15th, will be the fourth month since my dad passed away. He died on April 15th, the day before Easter. And when I think about that time, I think about, one thing just sticks out, is seeing my dad go through that and the pain he was going through. And the pain that trickled through my family. And the thing is about this, about my dad though, never once did he complain about the cancer that was destroying his whole body in a span of 6 months. Never did he say, why does God do this to me? Why did God abandon me? And the truth is, if I was in his shoes, I would have said that a million times. But as I look at it, and I'm reminded of his faith in the Lord, he knew that it was the purpose of giving glory to God and for him to rely on him even more. There's a video, and I thought about showing it, but I was like, forget it. You know, it's difficult. And there was a video when the last couple days, and you know what he did when the chaplain came in? He just, instead of just sitting there and with agonizing with the pain, he just started praising God. He would sing his favorite hymn, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. And I really believe it is because his relationship with God was not only so strong in the Lord, but he knew that following Christ calls him to suffer. Following Christ allows him, and is during this pain of cancer, allows him to rely on him even more. And he knew we were looking at him, for example. He knew that how he reacted and how he faced this difficult storm in life will either discourage his family from serving God or will encourage us to continue to run this race. We all have experienced suffering. And maybe you're suffering today. As I close, I'll call Kay to go up. Maybe you're going through some sufferings this morning. Maybe you're not a believer. And that's okay. You're in a good place. See, Sheryl Sandberg wasn't a believer. Doesn't matter how intelligent, how famous, rich you are, how poor, wherever you are in life. When suffering occurs, and if you don't have the God of comfort beside you, it will be lonely. It will be dark. You will feel this emptiness. You will have this feeling of lostness. But the good news is, God loves you. And if you are a believer, you can stand, I know you could say with me that, man, I went through some difficult times, Pastor. But even in the midst of those difficult times, I could attest that I was even closer with him. I was able to feel his presence in my life. And I grew in faith because I trusted in him. I relied upon his word. And my brothers and sisters around me encouraged me, prayed for me. And I was able to see what the body of Christ looks like when Christ calls us to not only love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, but to love our neighbors as ourselves. We can follow Christ, church, because he is the God of comfort and mercies. We can follow Christ, church, because we share in Christ's suffering and comfort. And that's a good thing to know because he knows our deepest hurts. He's with us. And you know what? He himself experienced it already and are victorious over it. And lastly, he has a plan. We may not understand it. We may not like it. But when we suffer, his plan is to push us to rely on him, to look to him by faith. The bottom line is this: following Christ comes with suffering and comfort. And the sooner we, as followers of Jesus, understand this truth, the sooner we are able to endure, the sooner we're able to overcome the sufferings we will face or are facing today. Because you think about it, God, when we suffer and we overcome, God looks at you and says, great job. Because you never gave up on me. Great job. Because in that suffering, you will share to someone who's suffering today. And they will see Christ in your life. They will see Christ's victory in your life. Because the storms you went through, you were victorious in the Lord. And that makes our faith even bolder and greater. And our testament, our story in Christ, becomes colorful and exuberant and powerful in the world today. And that's something that no man or woman can deny. When we share the great redemption story we have in Christ, the great amazing story where God rescued us when we went through cancer, when we went through death in the family, when our marriage was in the rocks, but we trusted God and God restored it. You see, the sooner we understand that, the sooner we're able to be great witnesses for Christ. The sooner we'll be able to be mature and wise in encouraging someone who's suffering today. Because someone is suffering today. You're suffering today. As you close your eyes, as you seek the Lord of comfort and mercies, I truly believe that you being here is not a coincidence. It is God's plan and purpose that you hear His word this morning. We are all going through suffering, or will go through suffering. And if you're going through suffering this morning, whether that's a loss of someone, physical diseases, relational hurts, or something in the past that's never been restored and healed that occurred, I pray that you would look to God right now. That you would just lay it down before His throne and let go. And ask God to heal you. Ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you. That in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, see that He is with you, standing beside you, with His arms wide open. And He Himself bears His scars of His own suffering, of His own affliction. That our God, the living God, the Most High God, understands what you're going through. And that you are not alone. Or will never be alone, because you serve and worship the living God who desires to know you. And if you are not a believer, begin to pray with me and begin to really believe in your heart that you need God to be your Lord and Savior. You need Him because He's much better than some professional help, some health books. Because in the end, you're still empty. In the end, there's still this void in your life. There's still these hurts that's never been healed. And the good news is this. God came for that purpose, to save you, to restore you to a right relationship with your Creator. He came to rescue you from your suffering, from your brokenness. And He does not look at you with contempt. He looks at you with grace and mercy. He looks at you as someone that is dearly loved by Him, more precious than anything. You are His daughter. You are His son. And He desires you to be with Him. God, I pray for anyone who's suffering right now, that you comfort them. God, I pray for anyone who's been hurt in the past, that they would that you would begin to heal the hurts, that you would begin to restore their lives. God, I pray for people that are grieving. Lord, I'm still grieving. God, I pray that you would continue to remind me, remind people that are grieving, that you are Lord of all, that you are the God of comfort, that you are always with us, and that you will never give us something that we can't handle. God, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for using the suffering we go through so that we can know you more, we can rely on you more, and that it will be a great testimony to the world of your redemption in our lives, and your inner working in our lives. God, thank you.